the wand, a puff of smoke, and the magic man pulls one out of the hat.
I still can't believe it.
Welcome
happened.
To the Mirror's Magic Quickfire Q&A for Supercoach. Heading into round 13, obviously there's been a game already, the Thursday night footy, so some questions are kind of relevant now, but we'll try to cover what we can. Lots of questions about Fifey, and do you bring it in? It's a tricky one, and it's the balance between. So for me, I am bringing him in, and I'm not doing it as a cash grab down from someone with more money. I'm doing it from a red dot in a Harry Sharp up to a Fife, and using a trade there, which then gets me down to seven trades after that. So the trade-off for me, and I've got it not to think he's going to be a keeper or be on my field in round 16. He's purely a nice play throughout the bye rounds because he's a forward who plays in round 15, which is the tricky one. We know his best is very good. He's not going to be at his best, but where he's priced, I think he's going to outperform and be a nice extra number on the field throughout those tricky bye rounds of the next two. And then for me, it's cover for the rest of the year with my low bye rounds, knowing that if I have a injury in the rucks or forwards, I can plug and play a Nat Fife and even play that loop game where he can be my emergency. If he scores well, he can start mucking around with a donut and get his score. So the trade-off is it worth using a trade to get Fife for cover, knowing that himself also hasn't got a great injury history and there's every chance he could miss as well? Or are you better off using that trade to upgrade a Sheezel or a Zeebel to get to a better premium and get more points throughout the year? So looking at it that way, well, obviously I've opted for using a trade for Fife. So that's the way I'm going, but I can see both sides of the argument. So there's no way at the moment you can say he's a must-have. And with his break-even, yes, it's low, but he's still going to be checked next week if we do see Fife at 65% centre bounces. Obviously, O'Meara is out to spend and they brought in Henry, who's not going to play inside. So I think Fife's going to have every chance this week. But if you're low on trades and you don't think you can complete your team, then he's by no means a must-have. And looking back at the cash generators last week of a Wardlaw, a Ford and a Briggs, and I said normally you wouldn't want to use trades here, but I liked all three of them. I think all three of them were better prospects than what Fife is at that price. Next question, Clayton Oliver. Do you stick Fat if he's not named or do you trade out given his price? Now, you definitely hold him and hopefully he does play for you. I'm a non-owner at the moment, so selfishly part of me thinks he misses one more and takes the buy round off. But he's going to prove a great point of difference. We're all mucking around with our trades around him. We traded him out. I'm using a trade to get Fifey. I've got seven left. I'm starting to lose a bit of my cash gen on the bench. That from a man, Oliver, I think was owned by about 78% of the top 1,000 before he went down. He's going to be very unique at the back end of the year. And as we saw, there's him and Bont are 10 points better than the next best midfielder. And I think the second half of the year, we might see Oliver being, if he gets back to a full fitness, clearly the number one player, especially as a captain option, he's going to be a great asset for you. So you've already held him for two. You definitely hold now. Also, there's a few questions about players who still have a buy to come. And as I said, my view, and it might not be right, particularly if you've got a very good structure and all your players play well. But we just saw tonight that there's every chance that Gordon's going to drop off of your best 18. Jake Lloyd, premium, and at one point is going to be a lot worse than that. Jack Steele, premium, at one point is going to be a lot worse than that. But the extra numbers give you so much comfort throughout the buy rounds that I'm not trading into any player who has a buy to come. So question here about Elliot Yeohan, would you go him over Fife? If it weren't for buys, 100% I would. But yeah, throughout the buy rounds, I'd rather wait on Yo, pay that little bit extra if he does look the real deal again this week and get him post his buy round. That's my personal view with those. Next question about what is full primo and is there fake full primo? So he's either got the option to finish the buy rounds with about 4 to 5 trades, which is, I think, is bare minimum what you want. I'm looking at the lower end of that, I think. I wouldn't be surprised to see if I'm 3 to 4, which is where I was this time last year. But having four to five, but having to settle for cheaper premium, someone like a Patrick Cripps, or leave with two to three and have the top premium. So have your Oliver, have your Sicily, have your English. They're the targets. And it's as much as, say, you get the extra points of a Sicily over, say, who's a cheaper premium, a Jack Sinclair, who might think, say, if Sicily averages extra 10 points per game than a Sinclair from here, you just need one donut and that 100 point just disappears. And a bit like I'll put in the insight with the scenario over the 10 weeks, if he misses 1 week but averages 10 points per game more than Sinclair and gets a donut, he just misses 1 week, you're back all square. So you need those extra trades in the back. So I'd rather have four to five trades left and have an ideal team. But on the flip side, four to five is hopefully all you'll need. So if you've got the option between having 9 or 10 trades but going cheaper or having five but going full primo, I'd go full primo. Because we just saw last year those teams who were struggling with players like a Short and a Crisp, like me, who wasn't exact full primo, it was very hard to catch those top teams who had those top six defenders. And I think I mentioned before that if you can have a Sicily and an Oliver towards the end of the year, you're going to really put pave to the teams who don't have those. So obviously you want to strive for the best premiums possible. Tough one here deciding which one to trade out of Zeeble or Sheasel. Firstly, who do you think will score more from here? Because it's all good and well they're going to drop cash, but if you're going to hold them for the rest of the year, the cash loss actually doesn't hurt. And where it hurts early in the year, say that was the theory, a lot of people say a Rory Laird who's going to drop cash early in the year, and the theory is he's a keeper, so it doesn't hurt you. It does actually hurt you because other teams are going to get that keeper much cheaper than you and get that advantage. No one's going to be trading into a Zeeble from here. So if you're a holder for the rest of the year and he drops a lot of cash, it actually doesn't hurt you too much. But the question is, do you want him holding the rest of the year? Because looking at his break-even now with Zeeble, if you don't trade him now, I think you are forced to hold him the rest of the year because he's not going to have enough cash to get him to anyone that decent. Who do I think is going to score more out of Sheasel and Zeeble? I think it's going to be Zeeble because his role is as close as it has been for the rest of the year. Obviously, Aaron Hall's back, which has hurt him a bit, but he's still playing that same defensive role, which so far this year has made him a top six forward and defender, whereas Sheasel's the one who's had the role change, playing forward, playing mid. So if you were to keep one for the rest of the year and trade one, it would be trading out Sheasel. But if in your head you're going to have both moved by round 15, which hopefully in my head I'm going to have that happen, it's Zeeble moving first because he's going to lose the most cash. Hope that made sense. Next question, ignoring the buys, who's going to average more from here, Humphrey or Sheasel? I think, I don't know, Humphrey's just got that perfect super coach game, and we saw it with low possession style that he just gets a lot of his possessions contested. He covers a lot of meters gained because he doesn't muck around with it. He gets and boots it long, and he also kicks goals. So what will be interesting, the whole possession count for Gold Coast were down a fair bit in that wet. So 19 possessions for Humphrey and 2 goals. He was the second highest possession getter for Gold Coast last week. So if he's on an ordinary day, second highest possession winner, he's probably going to get 25. And if he can kick 2 goals, then he's going to do really well. If Sheasel doesn't move back to halfback flank, I think he's going to average that 80, 75 to 80, which he has done, which I think Humphrey might be 80 to 85. So I think Humphrey might average more from here. But regardless, unless you can loop the two of them week to week, I don't think your team will be strong enough if you have to rely on them as your end team for your M8 position. How important is cash and cash gen? Still very important, and that's why that Z will move first will be important because, as I mentioned, the team's firsty, and don't be afraid if you're not going to complete a team full primo. Like even mine, I think at times there's a chance I'll have to go in with a Fife or a Humphrey as my M8 or F6 post buys. But there'll be teams who have just other rookies on field post buys who haven't been able to manoeuvre it well enough or have the cash to upgrade. So if you have got the cash to upgrade, and not only you can get full primo, but you can get the best primo like the ones we mentioned before, I think you'll see you'll come storming home in the back end of the year. Have enough money to go Jones and Pickett to Neil and Sarong, but that will use all the money, or you're better off to bring in Neil and Fife and save some money for the following weekend. Use the money. Neil and Sarong could be top eight mids, so they're an upgrade. You might as well use that upgrade now. As I said, if Fife, I thought that he could have been a potential keeper and you want to jump on this price while he's cheap, then yes, but I think Fife is the target for the bench, so no point putting your trade money into something on the bench when you actually have the ability to put your money into someone who can be a keeper the rest of the year and continue to get you points. Any love for Hayden Young? A bit of love for Hayden Young. I think he's a great footballer and soon to be a super coach star. It's just he's yet to have that give me the ball sort of mentality which you want from your premium defenders. You look at the way Sinclair, Sicily, even Luke Ryan demand that footy, Jake Lloyd, Hayden Young still yet to have that. He's still just a very good team player, and even the fact that he's only getting 23% kick-ins for someone who kicks it so well is enough for me to think that he's probably a year off being a real elite super coach defender, in my opinion. I'd rather, it's easy saying now because he's already played tonight, but the Jack Sinclair, I think, is the best value defender to come. And I think, yeah, next week he might be a nice target for us who don't have him, and I'm one of them. Next question, are we still targeting value for premiums? You want to have the best six defenders, eight mids, and six forwards. So as much as you want value, and that doesn't mean the value doesn't, like I mentioned with the merit splits of last year, like he was the value pick last year, but then performed in line with the top. So if you think a player has the potential to be a top end, then doesn't matter about value. Just go and grab them. The question with this, though, is the Sicily, given he's good value now, but he's going to be probably too expensive after his buy, so do you grab him now knowing he's got a buy next week? I'd rather pay that premium and get him post his buy, or wait till that big score drops off his rolling average and get him maybe in round 17 when that happens. I'm not trading in Sicily this week. Elliot Yeo mentioned him before. I think his role's great. He was highly touted in the preseason for reason, and we're starting to see him play that role. It's just this time of year with the bye coming, I'm not trading into him this week. My trades as it stands, I'm looking at bringing in Lachie Neale for Rory Atkins and Liam Jones. And to get that, I have to just settle on an O'Sheen Mullen, which obviously isn't a great rookie, but he's at least a real basement price. So if he never plays again, at least I've utilised all cash on those two rookies. And I am also going Berry to Fife at this stage, unless I have a change of heart and think that trade will be better served elsewhere to do something like a Canelio to Darcy Cameron in round 15. So that's what I've got to weigh up. But as it stands, I'll be using three trades, which will leave me to seven to come, two rookies on field, which is why I said I might be close to that 2-3 trade mark, because I'm going to need two trades to get a Humphrey up to a premium, hopefully Clayton Oliver, and then two trades to get the other rookie up to a premium, which will then go to seven down to three. And if I want to do a Cogs to Cameron in that buy to give me cover in the rucks, that's going to give me two. And it's 2022 all over again. Anyway, thanks for that. Thanks again for your support. I'm offline on all Friday, so I won't be able to get back to anyone on Twitter or email, but have a great weekend. Enjoy the footy long weekend over East, and we'll touch base with Tommy come Wednesday morning. Alrighty, guys. Cheers.